Is everybody awake? Imagine this, if you would. Waking up one morning to the sound of an alarm, just like that. Not the kind that signals the start of a typical day, but one that warns of imminent danger. A call to arms. Suddenly you find yourself thrust into a battlefield. You look around and you see a vast army, some armored and ready, others caught off guard, still fumbling to put on their gear. You hear shouts, the clash of swords, and you feel the intensity of a struggle that is far more than what meets the eye. Now, let me ask you. Are you ready for battle? Do you have your armor on? Because whether you realize it or not, we are all in the midst of a war, a spiritual war. This is the reality that the Apostle Paul brings to our attention in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. He doesn't speak to us as civilians, but as soldiers, called to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He commands us to put on the full armor of God, not just for defense, but to take a stand against the devil's schemes. Today, we're going to explore what it means to be a soldier in this spiritual army. To be an army of sacrificial servants, equipped not with weapons of this world, but with the armor of God. The question before us is clear. Are we ready to stand firm against the enemy? Or will we be caught unprepared when the battle intensifies? As we dive into this passage, let us remember that this is not just a metaphor or a distant idea. This is our reality. The battle is here. The stakes are eternal, and the victory is already assured in Christ. Let's arm ourselves with the truth, righteousness, faith, and the Word of God. Let's prepare to stand our ground. And let's go ahead and stand for the reading of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, and see how we are called to fight in this spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today acknowledging the reality of the battle that rages around us. A battle not of flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. Lord, we confess that too often we go about our days unaware or unprepared for this war. Yet in your word, you have called us to be strong in your mighty power and to put on the full armor you have provided for us. And as we stand on the precipice of your word this morning, we ask for your guidance and strength. Clothe us, Lord, with your truth, that we may not be deceived by the lies of the enemy. Guard our hearts with the breastplate of righteousness, that we may live lives that reflect your holiness. Prepare our feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace, that we might bring your light into dark places. And shield us with faith, Lord, so that we may stand firm against all the attacks that come our way. Protect our minds with the helmet of salvation and arm us with the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. Lord, as we dive into this passage from Ephesians, open our eyes to see the unseen, to understand the depths of this spiritual warfare, and to realize that you have already secured the victory for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Stir our hearts with courage, embolden our spirits with faith, and prepare us to stand firm no matter what comes our way. We pray that you would speak through your servant today. May the words that are shared be not from human wisdom, but from your divine inspiration. And may we, as your people, listen with open hearts, ready to respond and ready to fight the good fight of faith. In the mighty name of Jesus, who is our strength, our shield, and our salvation, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, these are Paul's concluding remarks to the church in Ephesus. He encourages them to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and to put on the full armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, Paul uses military imagery to describe our stance against evil. We must be soldiers, prepared to stand our ground, but our warfare is unlike that of any earthly army. We're not violent aggressors, but an army of sacrificial servants embodying the love and truth of Christ. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our weapons are spiritual, self-giving love, and the Word of God. We are equipped with everything we need to stand firm against the enemy, guided by the Holy Spirit and sustained by God's love. In the early church, Christians often faced intense persecution. Yet they did not respond with violence, but with love and sacrifice. One such example is found in the life of Polycarp, a disciple of John the Apostle and the Bishop of Smyrna. When he was arrested and given the chance to renounce his faith to save his life, Polycarp famously responded, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior?" Polycarp faced his martyrdom with courage. embodying the spirit of sacrificial service. He showed us how to stand firm in the face of the enemy, not with worldly weapons, but with the love and truth of Christ. Now, Paul warns the Ephesians and us about the devil's schemes. And boy, does he have many. To effectively resist these attacks, we must understand the nature of our enemy and the various forms of spiritual warfare we might encounter. Here are just a few examples. There's about 15 here, so bear with me. Temptation. One of the most common forms of spiritual warfare. Just as Jesus was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, we too face temptations that try to draw us away from God's path. But Jesus resisted through Scripture, showing us the importance of knowing God's Word. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was not immune to temptation. In his early ministry, he struggled with feelings of inadequacy and doubt. On one occasion, he nearly abandoned his missionary efforts in Georgia due to his deep inner conflicts and temptations to despair. But through diligent prayer, study of the Scriptures, and the support of fellow believers like his brother Charles and his friend George Whitfield, Wesley overcame these temptations. His experience reminds us of the importance of community and the Word in resisting the devil's schemes, just as Jesus did when he used Scripture to resist temptation in the wilderness. Another scheme that he uses, deception and lies. Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44. And he often distorts the truth of God's word to lead us astray. In the Garden of Eden, he twisted God's words to deceive Eve. Genesis 3:1-5. We must be vigilant and discerning, knowing the truth of Scripture to counter these lies. The story of Martin Luther provides a powerful example of overcoming deception and lies. When Luther was plagued by accusations from Satan about his unworthiness and the depth of his sins, he responded with the truth of Scripture. Luther would say, "When the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And where he is, there I shall be also." Luther's response to the devil's accusation demonstrates the power of knowing and speaking the truth of God's word to combat lies. Another scheme, accusation and condemnation. Satan is the accuser, Revelation 12:10. Constantly bringing accusations against God's people. This can lead to feelings of guilt and shame, unrooted in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We see this in the story of Job, where Satan tries to undermine Job's faithfulness, Job 1, 6 through 12. St. John Chrysostom, notably early church father, faced relentless criticism and accusations from both the church and political leaders. Despite the false charges and being exiled multiple times, he remained steadfast in his faith. Chrysostom once said, "The waves are many and the surging seas, but we are not afraid, for we stand upon the rock." His life illustrates how believers can withstand accusations and condemnation by holding firm to their faith in Christ. Much like Paul, who taught the early Christians to stand firm against the enemy's schemes. Another scheme. I'm sorry, that's the end of the schemes, I'm sorry. Now, to stand firm against these various forms of spiritual warfare, and there's others. I didn't give you a complete list, but I gave you some. We'd be here all day if I did that. To stand firm against these schemes, though, various forms of spiritual warfare, Paul instructs us to put on the full armor of God. So what is that full armor? Well, if you look in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the belt of truth. Well, what is the belt of truth? Integrity and honesty hold everything together. Integrity and honesty hold everything together. Rooting our lives in Jesus, who is the truth, provides stability. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, many of you probably heard that name before, a German pastor and theologian during World War II, he stood firmly on the truth of God's word amidst the deceptive propaganda of the Nazi regime. Bonhoeffer's commitment to truth led him to be part of the resistance against Hitler, even though it ultimately cost him his life. His stance exemplifies the belt of truth that holds us steady and guides us in righteousness, even in the face of overwhelming evil. Another piece of the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness. Moral integrity protects our hearts. Living in alignment with God's will shields us from attacks on our character. The gospel of peace, another piece of the armor. The readiness to share the gospel gives us stability and purpose. Another piece of the armor, the shield of faith. Trust in God protects us from the flaming arrows of doubt, fear, and temptation. Consider the example of Corrie ten Boom, who during World War II hid Jews from the Nazis and was later imprisoned in a concentration camp. Amid unimaginable suffering, she clung to her faith as a shield. Corrie's reliance on God's promises in the darkest of times showed that her faith was indeed a shield, protecting her from despair. Her story reminds us of the power of faith to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Another piece of God's armor, the helmet of salvation. Assurance of our salvation protects our minds from despair. John Newton, maybe some of you have heard that name before, the author of what song? What hymn? Amazing Grace. He had a tumultuous past as a slave trader before his conversion. He often struggled with guilt over his former life. Yet Newton found peace and protection in the assurance of his salvation, which he referred to as the anchor of my soul. Newton's transformation from a slave trader to a preacher of grace showcases the power of the helmet of salvation in protecting the mind from the enemy's attacks and anchoring believers in their identity in Christ. Another piece of the armor, the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is our offensive weapon, powerful in countering the enemy's lies and deceptions. Let me give you an example here. Gene, you would appreciate this. The life of Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, serves as a profound illustration of wielding the sword of the Spirit. Spurgeon faced several bouts of depression and criticism throughout his ministry. Yet he continually preached the Word of God with power and authority, using Scripture as his primary weapon against spiritual attacks. His devotion to the Word was unwavering, even under the weight of personal and public trials. Prayer in the Spirit. Prayer in the Spirit. Constant communication with God keeps us alert and aligned with His will. I said constant. That means doesn't stop, right? Illustration here from the life of Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley. This provides a rich example of the power of prayer. Despite facing numerous challenges, including financial hardships, a tumultuous marriage, and the death of several children, Susanna remained a steadfast prayer warrior. Her practice of covering her head with her apron to create a sacred space for prayer amidst the chaos of her household demonstrates the importance of continual prayer in the midst of spiritual battles. Susanna Wesley's life underscores the power of prayer in sustaining believers and aligning them with God's will. As I conclude today, Paul concludes here. He closes by asking for prayer that he may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Fearlessly. In Christ, we have no reason to fear. Even in the midst of spiritual warfare, we can be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Remember this, church. The battle belongs to the Lord, and the victory has already been won through Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we thank You for equipping us with Your armor. Help us to stand firm in Your truth and righteousness, to be ready with the gospel of peace, to take up the shield of faith, and to protect our minds with the assurance of salvation. Guide us with the sword of Your Spirit, Lord, and keep us in constant communication with You through prayer. Strengthen us to stand against the enemy's schemes and make known the mystery of the gospel fearlessly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you for coming. You're all dismissed. Have a wonderful day. Doesn't look as sunny as yesterday, but it's a beautiful day. Amen. God bless you.